In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. It's good that we are here. We began this day at Tabor, and now we've descended to Cana. We began today where our Lord shows forth his glory. And in fact, as we remarked at the beginning of this the end of our journey down within the bus, that the miracle of Tabor was not the fact that our Lord's glory shone through his person. St. Thomas Aquinas speaks of it as the real miracle is that every moment other than Mount Tabor, the glory did not shine forth. For nothing new happened at Mount Tabor that was not already present in Christ from the beginning. It is a miracle that that's the one moment where it wasn't shown. And as our good guide, Abraham, spoke to us, the purpose was to prepare for what he had yet to show, which was that he would suffer and die. The question for you and I to ask today is, who is the Lord Christ? How have you experienced him up to this point? We began our pilgrimage this day. Really, it began a few days ago when we entered onto those somewhat difficult and somewhat arduous trips that we made to get across all so much land. 7,400 miles was my trip. I don't know how far yours was. Who is Jesus? It's incumbent upon you and I to ask this question over and over again over the course of this trip, over the course of this pilgrimage. Who is Jesus? Who do I experience Jesus to be? What is it that Jesus desires me to know more about who he is during this pilgrimage? We're here to grow within our faith, and any faith which is founded in anyone other than the person of Jesus Christ is a faith which does not save. It's a faith which disappoints. But we know that our faith does not disappoint, because it is founded upon he who is truth itself. We have been given the grace of having the only faith that saves in Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, who has dwelt among us and has come with great power to show his glory, that seeing his glory, we might ascend to the highest glory where he has gone before. So continually ask that question throughout the course of this, that as you walk through these places where the Lord of glory walked, as you experience the things which, in the culture which surrounds what our Lord experienced, who is this Jesus? And who is it who he desires you to encounter him in a brand new way that you have not yet heretofore encountered? We were there on Tabor, and something happened there showing forth his glory that would prepare for the suffering of the cross. And here, at Galilee, here in Cana, what does God show us? The very thing which he was preparing for on Tabor. The cross. This should not be a surprise to any of you who are married. Marriage is a cross. For some of you, that's a heavier cross than others. Marriage is a cross. Marriage is a cross which you selected for yourselves. And so to turn to that one who is next to you, and you can say to him even now, or her, you are my cross. That's all right. It's all right to acknowledge that fact, that your spouse is your cross, that God has assigned you this particular struggle in life in order to perfect you in a deeper and more radical way. Our Lord came into Cana of Galilee to be there with those who are entering into their particular cross of relationship. Why was our Lord there? Mary was already there, if you pay attention to the particularities of the scriptures. She was already there, for she had made the preparations beforehand. She was already getting things ready because her nephew was getting married. The disciple, Simon, it was his wedding. Who is Simon but the son of Cleophas? Do you know who Cleophas is? That's the brother of St. Joseph. Remember at the end of the Gospels, where the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Cleophas was one of them, with his wife. Now is some of the scriptures starting to come together. These aren't strange, random figures who are here. Our Lord's first message was to his family. Family is important. It's important, first, to do the works which God has given you to your family. It's the hardest place to do it. And what's the hardest place to bring God's light, His glory, His joy, often? Into our marriages. It's easy to take the person who is beside us for granted. To not be grateful for the good moments that have been granted us. Not to be grateful for the many moments when their patience was tested by the ways in which we're not perfect and we're more cross than we are Christ. But our Lord desires, just as He did on Cana of Galilee so many years ago, to do something new. To bring forth a grace of newness of wine. What is wine significant of? Wine is significant of joy. For we know in the scriptures it says, why does God give wine? He gives wine to cheer men's hearts. Wine is not something that should be drunk every day. Wine is something that is for special occasions. Moments when the heart needs cheer. When there needs to be a reason for rejoicing. And what do we find in this couple on their wedding day? That already the wine has run out. How quickly is the honeymoon period over within our relationships? When the first difficulties come to hit, and that fire doesn't burn so brightly, and the struggles so easily present themselves, sometimes the wine runs out very quickly. Our Lord desires to renew the wine within your life. At the conclusion of this Mass, we will have a renewal of those vows for those of you who have come to take them. But wine is significant of joy even beyond the marriage which we are celebrating today, the first miracle which happened here that renewed the great joy that they had. So much was the joy that Simon actually did not consummate his relationship with his wife at the end of their marriage banquet. He saw what beauty God had done here. And so having taken his wife, which she did not contest, seeing the miracle which was here, allowed that marriage to be gone through so that she would be cared for, but then allowed him to go and to be with Jesus for the rest of his life, to follow as a disciple. The Lord wishes to work a miracle of giving you a new strength and wine here at the Mass and on this trip, and to ask Him to renew the joy of salvation which He visits upon you. Renew that joy of friendship with Christ. Renew that joy of a relationship with somebody who lasts even beyond when some of you, sadly, you know this difficulty of when a spouse no longer gets to complete the journey with you. Because their journey ends sooner. The Lord particularly desires to increase the joy for those of you who are at loss. And so ask Him for that grace as you see those renewing their wedding vows here. To ask for that grace for that one who has gone before, that they would be liberated from whatever still holds them bound. Because remember, the reason for marriage is not to do a carnal thing, but is to do something which is spiritual. The vows that you take are to make sure that you will do everything within your power to get this soul to heaven. That's why it's a sacrament. And if you're still here, it means your job for your spouse is not complete. And if your spouse has gone before, and they indeed have arrived at the glory of heaven, their job is not done for you either. For they still are committed to get you there as well. Ask for that grace from the one who has gone before. For if they are truly within the presence of God, that means their prayers and intercession and an ability to do good for you is far greater than it ever was on this earth. For now they no longer need to struggle with their own sinfulness and difficulties. They've been perfected. That's what the grace of purgatory does for us. And so as we enter into these mysteries and ask our Lord to reintroduce Himself to us in a new way as we begin our pilgrimage here in Cana of Galilee, for Him to reveal the glory which He has, that we might embrace the cross which is given to us in our lives, for those of you who are married, to renew that cross and to struggle all the more valiantly therewith. Asking our Lord to pour a little bit more of the wine of His joy to reinvigorate the things of our lives so that what is left still on this journey might be completed not with drudgery, not merely counting the days by until it ends, but indeed with the joy that ends as the scriptures teach us, in such a way where eye has not seen, where ear has not heard, nor has it even dawned upon man, indeed what God has prepared for those who love Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.